in Montana.
Favorite things that I've written. I've written, I guess, 200 or 300 of these kind of tunes. And this, I remember writing in my mind when I took Chris, that's now playing for me, to nursery school. He was, I guess he was about 4 or 5 years old. Four. And just coming back in the car, I started singing this song to myself. And I went back to my home and went in the house and wrote it. And I was going to call it Duke Ellington Meets Darius Milhaud. And the title was just too long, so it was shortened to the Duke. But you see, in this tune, you go through every key, all 12 changes that are possible in a tune, because there's 12 notes on the piano, you go through in 8 bars. And I didn't realize this. I was playing it at a concert. And a college professor that knew a lot more about 12-tone music and harmony, I guess, he just heard it and he said, you know, that's a 12-tone piece. And I said, no, it isn't. I don't like 12-tone music. And he said, well, it goes through all 12 keys in the first 8 bars, all 12 chords of a scale. And then I knew that, you see, I had studied with Schoenberg. And Ellington is my favorite jazz composer. Milhaud was the person I really studied with. I didn't like Schoenberg because of the 12-tone role. So in reality, I've never said this before, but it should be Schoenberg, Milhaud, meets Ellington and Milhaud. And a lot of the chords were very polytonal, which is what I learned with Darius Milhaud. Chords I first played when I met Paul Desmond in 1944, and he thought I was crazy. But when I first met Paul, the first chord, he wanted to play some blues. I was in the Army in 44 going overseas as an infantry man, and I wanted to get in the band at the Presidio in San Francisco where Paul was. And so they auditioned me, and I had to play some jazz, and one of the guys I was playing with was Paul Desmond. And he said, well, let's play the blues in B-flat. And the first chord I hit was this. And he said, I thought he would start for a man. Because, you see, this is a G chord, this hand, the B-flat chord, and this hand. And that's why I played when I was a kid a lot.
Before you even knew that that's what you were doing?
Yeah, before I knew the term. And people ask me, how did I do that? Well, I give them a crazy explanation. But it's the only one I can tell you. But I was raised on a cattle ranch, and I rode horseback hours a day alone. The ranch was 45,000 acres, which is one of the largest ranches in Northern California. My father was the manager. He did not own it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've mentioned this, and then the next time I'll read, I'm from a wealthy cattle family. So being raised on that ranch, I was alone a lot. I worked for a dollar a day for years as a cowboy. And sometimes I worked in the hay, and sometimes I worked pumping water, because you got to have water for the cattle. And the gasoline engine goes, chuck, 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 ka-pong, 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 and they go like this for hours, and there's nothing to do. You're all alone under a water tank, and it's maybe 100 and 105 degrees, and you just lie there, and you wait for that tank to fill. And it's the only cool place, and you're out there, and so you start singing against this or something, because you're there for a couple hours, and then you move to the next tank. I could describe him as like the father figure on Bonanza, you know. That's the kind of guy he was. He was a champion rodeo roper, fantastic cattleman. So I had this strange background, and two brothers, both are fine musicians. And my mother wanted three, well, to tell you what she wanted three genius sons, and she drove all three of us. Well, my dad said that one son had to take after him, and I was the last one. So you know who wasn't a musician with me. And I was going to be a veterinarian, went to college as a pre-med the first year in Stockton, California, College Pacific. Hated zoology, chemistry. I was a C student working as hard as I could, because I didn't want to be a failure. And I was depressed completely, and across the lawn was the conservatory. And when I was supposed to be cutting up frogs and things like that, my mind would be on, put that plane over to the conservatory. And the professor, God bless him, came over and he said, "Rubeck, next year, just go over there." I couldn't read music, so I hid the fact for 3 years.
How could you hide the fact for 3 years?
Very simply, I never studied piano. And I had a good ear, and I would get through harmony and ear training by my ear, on my ear. And the whole thing was, rather than learn to read, was to learn how to operate so they wouldn't know. Can you imagine that?
No, it sounds like a silly waste of time.
Well, it was. They discovered when I took piano, the woman put something in front of me and I couldn't read it. And she went right to the dean and she said, "He's a senior and about to graduate," because it was the last semester then. And so the dean called me in the office and he said, "I understand you can't read a note." I said, "That's right." He said, "Well, doesn't that bother you?" And I said, "No, all I want to do is play jazz, and it won't make any difference." And he said, "Well, you know, you're a disgrace to the conservatory." And I said, Well, I guess so, but, you know, it doesn't make any difference. And he says, it doesn't make any difference that I'm not going to graduate you? And I said, no, not really. I'm here because my mother insisted I go to college. So he said, well, I'll tell you what. If you promise me that you'll never teach music, I'm going to give you your degree. I said, I promise I will never teach music. So that's why I graduated from the college at Pacifica. When did you learn to read? When will I learn to read?
Jazz and writing.
Oh, do you?
Take five, is it?
Yeah.
You gotta get it.